good. I'm like, you're good? She goes, oh, I'm really good. I can be really quick and good at this. I'm like, no, I don't think I want x-rays. No, I'm really good at this. You won't even know what's happening. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, right. So I said, I normally go out to the machine out there. Oh, we're not going to waste our time out there. I'm really good. I'll do this real quickly. So she goes, and I'm like, oh, here we go. Now, I'm already getting anxiety and nervous, right? So she puts this thing in, and she goes, this will take only a minute. Puts it in, and I start gagging. And she shoots it real quick. She goes, we got one. And I'm thinking, you're not getting two. And so she goes, well, that was more difficult than I thought. See, I know that x-rays are important, right? They're really important. I mean, you need to know. But I don't feel like I need to know every 6 months or once a year. Well, Lynn, why are you telling us this story? Well, I believe God is a little bit like a dentist. He is an expert in decay. His is not tooth decay, but soul decay. Beneath the surface, and many times we deny it's even there. And so God says maybe sometimes, hey, sit in this chair and let me search you. Let me lie down this chair. I want to bring health and vitality to your soul. And let me do what I need to do. And what I've discovered is when God puts you down in that chair, when God puts you down and he leans you back, and he says, let me do what I need to do, it's some of the most loving things that God can do for us. And sometimes it's painful. And sometimes the experiences are like going to a dentist. And so the psalmist, David, in Psalm 139, comes to this part in Psalm 139 that is different. It says this in verse 19. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. David turns, and he gives us this expression. And what David is doing, this whole psalm is about God's love for us, his evidence of his love for us. And now David turns, and he tries to give his expression of his love for God. And he goes for the loyalty card. He says, God, those who are against you, I hate them. Your enemies, they're my enemies. And when he says this, and we read this in the light of the whole Bible, is this a good thing about David's loyalty to God? And I think it's a mixed bag. David loves God. He wants to be loyal, and he can't stand that people do not love God like he does. But the fact that it takes a form of hatred. Now, we know that David did not know the teachings of Jesus. He doesn't know that Jesus' teaching says that we're supposed to love our enemies. And David, to his credit, did not have Jesus' teaching at the times. He's unaware of it. But as David pours out his heart of his hatred of God's enemies, David even wonders to himself as he's spewing these words out, is this a good thing? Is this a good thing, what he's saying? And he wonders that by what he says next. He says in verse 23 and 24 this. He goes, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So David, to his credit, is wondering about even the words that he expressed. He says, search me and know my heart. See, David is a mixed bag. You think about David's life. So many parts of his life is unbelievably beautiful. Some of the songs he writes are just amazing for us. And we read them, and something about the Psalms that David writes get into our hearts, get down into the recesses of our hearts, and they're beautiful and they're amazing because most of the time they're transparent. And David's also a mixed bag because many times in David's life, there's some pretty horrific things that happen. And so he's a mixed bag because his loyalty for God and these other moments that maybe are not so good. And so David, in the midst of this beautiful things that he does in his life and horrific things he does in his life, he is inviting correction. Aspects of the beauty of Christ. You see, I think all of us are mixed bags, aren't we? I mean, all of us can say things. I mean, all of us can have these beautiful things that are Christ-like in our lives that we can say and we can point out and say, wow, that's amazing. And God is blessing us for what we have done. Not in a prideful way, but we do things and we want to follow Christ in Christ-like ways. And then there's other words and deeds that are quite truthfully ugly. And so the question that David maybe is posing, and maybe what we will pose this morning is this: will you submit yourself to the great physician? Will you allow him to address soul decay? And David lays out this three-part plan on how we can find the Lord bringing beauty and freedom to our souls. So the first one is this. He says, search me. Examine me. Know my heart. Know what's inside of me. See, many times we talk to people. Say, hey, how are you? I'm good. Or we come on a Sunday morning, we're dressed up, and we look good on the outside. I mean, many of us, I'm looking out here today, many of you clean up pretty well. And you say, how are you? And many of us act like we have it all together when we talk with other people. Now see, I want to just tell you this morning. Do not believe everything. Okay, let me phrase that differently. Do not believe or understand or take viewpoints on everything you read on Facebook. Okay, Facebook is not a reality of people's lives. Because if you do, if you read some Facebook posts, and remember, I don't post that much, but I stalk a lot. And I know this, that sometimes this Facebook post can seem like people's lives are living in Disneyland. But God knows the truth. And so Facebook posts and other things that we say and we say to people and we try to portray ourselves that life is going on all cylinders. But I think God maybe is inviting us to have one of these wing bites to put into our souls and to bite down on one of these wing bites. And for him to take an x-ray, to search and examine every part of our life, to see what is hiding beneath the surface. Because God wants to deal with the soul rot of our lives. That's why he says, search me, O God. I mean, even search me, even when he says things about the enemies and about, God, I'm loyal to you. And you know, God, I'm on your court. And God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'm loyal. And if those people hate you, then I hate them. It seems like a good thing about David being loyalty to God, but there's some things going on in David's life maybe that aren't good. See, now the question you might be wondering is, Lynn, if that's true, I mean, if God does know everything, doesn't God know the full depth of our sin before he invites us to search us? That's a good point. But some of us act like we can hide things from God. And the reason I know that some people can act like they can hide things from God is because I know how to do it myself. I know that in my mind, I can separate out some of the things that I have done, and I can take God completely out of the picture. I can set him aside, and I can do what I need to do, and then I can bring God back into the picture. So I understand how that works. We can do these things. But some people think we can hide things from God. We can act like we have it all together. But see, God loves it when his people invite him in to things that he already knows. Let me say it again. God likes when we invite him in to things that he already knows. To see the truth. To stop pretending. Quit playing games. To take off the mask. This raw, authentic way. And I remember back when Dawn and I lived in Lancaster, and we had a two-unit apartment house. And we lived downstairs, and one lived upstairs. Or before we were married, I lived upstairs, and people lived downstairs. And these guys, when I was upstairs living downstairs, there was three guys who were recovering heroin addicts. And we had a couple of them come through. And you know the thing I loved about them? I loved about them was they were raw, they were authentic, and they exposed things. Oh, a couple of them slipped. Yes, and they went back. But as I talked to them, I was so amazed at their authenticity. They're just like opening themselves up and says, this is what I am. You're seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly. And Dawn and I walk with several of these guys over the years. We saw one relapse, code blue in our house. We saw others who made strides and got better, and they just had this genuine way about them. And I want to ask you this morning, is your relationship with God raw, authentic, being able to show him the good, the bad, and the ugly? But see, I know what happens if we say, well, if we were to expose everything, Lynn, if people here at church would know even half of what's going on in my life, I fear that they will not like me, much less love me. Others would reject us. But God loves us based on our grace, not on our worthiness. And I think what God is doing in this psalm and that David wrote in God's heart is this, that we can be fully known and fully loved. That God really knows me, and yet he can fully love me. I remember times way back when our children were little, because now they never fight, but back when they were little, and having some arguments between siblings. And I remember one of them, which will remain nameless today. I remember one of them said kind of a mean thing to the other, and they were just little. And I remember pulling the one up into my arms and sitting on my lap. And I'm saying, you know, I don't like what you're saying. You need to bite your tongue. And they looked at me like, bite my tongue? And then I remember one says, I don't know. Sometimes I can't stop the mean words from coming out. And I'm like, and you know what I did? I hugged that one. I said, yes, I know. It's difficult, isn't it? And I hugged him. I think that's what God does. The mean things we say and whatever happens in our lives, and sometimes we think he's just going to throw us away, but we can crawl up on God's lap and we can tell him all. And say, God, search me and know me. We can spill out our guts. So he says, search me. The second thing he says is, test me. You know what a test is? It's an experience that reveals previously unrevealed qualities. Now, teacher in school, not sure how much you've studied the material. So you take a test to reveal the truth, to reveal whether you have studied the material. And so the second part of a dentist's tool bag is the drill. Don't you love the sound of the drill of a dentist? It's fun. When that drill comes on, it seems like it's like way bigger than what it really is. But what does that drill do? That drill drills down. It drills down through good things and keeps drilling, and you feel the pieces and things coming in your mouth. Drills down and keeps drilling down until it finds the tooth decay and exposes it. Exposes the problem. And then takes courage to say, this is what you got. Now, I'm not proud of many times in my life. I think if you watched me sometimes in my life, I think if you saw me as a father, you would say at times, man, he is an amazing father. And then other times you'd watch me and say, what is his deal? What's wrong with him? I mean, there's times where we go somewhere or do something and I'm in a good mood and things are going well and I'm Father of the Year Award. They might not agree with that, but okay. Father of the Year Award in my own mind. And then the day starts happening and we're testy, we're hungry, we're tired, and the miserable kids are miserably fighting. And I might yell at my wife. And I'm ashamed of all that. And I need God's healing touch to say, help me. And many times, we lack self-awareness. We're blind to the junk that hides beyond the surface. And God takes a drill, and he just... I don't even like that sound. Okay. Takes that drill and he dig down. And we think that, you know, all the good stuff, all the good part of the teeth that we're drilling down through, that's the stuff we like to celebrate, right? Our teeth are good until we get the and we hit something and it's tooth decay, it's soul decay. But testing me is the path to growth. And then the last one is, he says, lead me. We want to fix a better way to do life. God, lead me. And I've always loved this big word that I think is really important when it comes to lead me. It's this big word called sanctification. It's to make his people increasingly holy. Lead us on a journey of correction. And I think what that does when it comes to the dentist is this, that after we have that drilling down, down, and the decay and things is disposed in the teeth, that all at once, out comes this compound. And you put it in to that hole, and you press down. And you keep pressing down. And you reform that tooth. And that restoration process that is led by God is now reforming that tooth, reforming our souls. But we can't do it without him, can we? Oh, we try. You and I try so much to do it any way but God's way. And we say, God, lead me. God, lead me. I need to depend on you. I need your help. I can't do it alone. And some of the ways we do that is through spiritual disciplines, through prayer, through devotion, maybe through a small group, to lead us on this growth journey. And what's happening is people change, and we embrace life everlasting. Dawn and I have been involved in many small groups over the years, and we've told many stories. We have exposed ourselves to many people about our sometimes, many times, all time, imperfect life. I mean, I know it's going to be hard to believe. This might shock you. But there is an occasion where Dawn and I get into a little fight. I know, you're shocked. Yes, but it does happen. And sometimes they can get a little ugly. Not too often anymore. But we share these stories with others in small groups, with other couples. And we've invited them. We would share our story and then invite them to share their story about some of the ugly moments in their marriages. Maybe some of the hurtful words. We would encourage them to be real to each other, to share with others in that small group. You know what I find? And I find that the more we share, the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly, is that there's growth that takes place. What I've discovered that as we go through small groups and talking to different people and we share some of the things in people's lives, what I discover is that Jesus changes people. That our best days can be ahead. That there can be real change in our lives. And that things can happen. And we are changed people. And when he says, search me, we allow him that expose. When he says, test me, when he says, lead me, O great physician. As we come to the end of this series on Psalm 139, I hope it's not the last time that you meditate on Psalm 139. And I wonder, why David in Psalm 139, why does he end this way? Why does he end with, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Why? Because David knows what I know and what you know. And that is that when we come to Christ, we are new creation. We've been adopted into his family. He can help us clean up all the decay in our lives. But we can come as we are. And we can say, Lord, forgive me. I thank you for the cross that you paid for our sins. That you're doing it on our behalf. And we become forgiven people. We don't earn it. But we come as we are. And the psalmist, as he finishes up this psalm, he's saying, Lord, I need your forgiveness. See, I believe it's in the asking. It's in the revealing of searching, of testing. And then of God leading. That we can become new creations. We can become born again. There may be some in this room who have missed the main thing. That moment of reconciliation where we can be reconciled to God. And so I want to just end with prayer this morning. Lord, as we pray today, as your church family, Lord, I pray that you would continue to search and test and lead us. Lord, as we end our time here in Psalm 139, the richness of this text, it cries out for reconciliation. That we can receive you, that you adopt us and you wash us. That we can begin the journey of change in each one of us. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would somehow no longer put you in a different compartment when we want to do things that you know is not pleasing, that we know is not pleasing to you. Lord, I pray that we would not set you aside and put you over here to do the things we want to do and then bring you back over when it's all over. And maybe we ask for forgiveness and keep doing it again. Lord, we are not impressive. But we are saved by your grace and by your love. Lord, I pray that you would become, again, forgivers of our sins, to wash us clean. Lord, I pray that you would search us, test us, and lead us, and to see if there is any offensive way in us. And if there is, lead me and lead us in the way everlasting. Amen.